in verse 4, "But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love." So again, he lists a sort of tribulation as he begins a new section. And then in 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, Second Corinthians chapter 10, when he speak about the third section of his authority, etc. You notice here, he says in verse 1, "Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you." And then look at chapter 11. He says in verse 24-25 onwards, "From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1, 3 times I was beaten with rods, 1 I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, 9 and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, etc., etc." Notice here that in each section, he emphasized a different extent and a different depth of his suffering. Since that there are 3 different degrees. In this book, it tells us that in a ministry, there is what I call a call to ministry. And then there is a relationship we develop with those whom we minister to. And then there is the office of which we must be faithful to. In the first section, Paul speaks about the ministry, that the principles of ministry and the ministry that he has received and what he does about it, his own relationship to the ministry. Then, in the second section, he speaks about his relationship with those to whom he ministered to, the subjects of his ministry. In the last section, he speaks about his relationship with God, how he must be faithful to God's call, and that ministry that he has comes from God. And when every one of us receive a ministry, whether it's a full-time ministry or a church ministry that you are helping part-time or serving with your free time, then you have a three relationships. How you yourself regard the ministry, how you relate to God in that ministry, and how you relate to people through that ministry. Every one of us has a relationship to our ministry. For example, in my own life, even though I have a call and ministry of God, I have an emphasis that I must build my family up before I can be successful in a ministry. In other words, I must have a strong family. My family must be a testimony unto the Lord. The Bible says if a person cannot watch over his family, how can he watch over the family of God? So I have a certain certain principles by which I relate to my own ministry and make choices. And where the choices will affect my family, I know it will affect the ministry. But there are choices and how I relate to the ministry, how I make decisions and fulfill my ministry. Then there are decisions that you make as you relate to people in the ministry, and how that will affect your ministry too. Then there is your office with God that you must be faithful to, and how you relate to God in that manner of the ministry. So in the first 5 chapters, Paul talked about the ministry in general and gave us to understand what the ministry is like, the cost that it will be involved. And he gives us the five different aspects of the ministry. He's not talking about just apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, or all the different ministries. is talking about general ministry principles and what it involves. The first principle is found in chapter 1, that the ministry of God through our lives, whether full-time or not full-time, is a ministry of suffering. And if we are not prepared to do it, then we are in it for some other reason. Look at what he, and here in chapter 1, he talked about what the true, how we check ourselves whether we're in a ministry to bear the sufferings of Jesus so that others could be blessed or not. How do we make sure that that is so? When we are called into the ministry, we are called to partake of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus suffered as he ministered to others. Let's face this. You can't get something for nothing. Ministry is helping others get something. Now, when others get something, somebody has to pay the price. You don't get something for nothing. We all receive salvation as a gift of God. Free gift. But when something is free, it's not because it is without cost. It is free because somebody paid the price for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to the cross, died on the cross, shed His blood for us, took all our sins and sicknesses on the cross of Calvary, so that by His stripes we were healed. We were saved. We were forgiven. We were cleansed. We've been made the righteousness of God. He paid the price so that we could go free. That's the concept that Paul has of a ministry. That when we enter the ministry, we are prepared to pay the price so that others could receive it as a gift. So by ministry of suffering, I don't want to give the impression that, you know, you're called to the ministry of the long papayas. You got no joy, you know, oh my, you know, here we are to suffer for the Lord. And that's not what I mean. But we're talking about being willing to pay the cost and others get the profit. Being in the ministry is in a sense being in business for others. You do the work, others get the profit. In business, you don't do that. When you invest in something, you want to profit too. And while profiting, you employ people and others will share the profit, but the main guy is you. And you do want to help people. A business is based on meeting the needs of people too. Well, in a ministry, it's a number one, a ministry of suffering. Now, how does Paul express that? In chapter 1, he says here in verse 9, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. And verse 11, you also helping together in prayers for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. In other words, they came through all the different sufferings they had through the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the ministry of suffering, the sub-points are found in verse 11. It takes prayer to do it. You don't pay the price by just working hard. You pay the price by praying for the people. As I mentioned before, and I'd like to mention it again, all church historians and theologians and Bible scholars know that the evangelistic ministry of Charles G. Finney had one of the highest success rates. But what they did not know and did not emphasize was that the reason why he had such a success rate was because before the souls were won, there was a lot of prayer going on. After the souls were won, a lot of prayer was still going on for the souls. When he traveled, there was a person named Father Nash who traveled with him. Charles G. Finney himself prayed for the souls. Then there are other evangelists that are not so much studied because they are not from the West and there are not many Asian authors who study them. People like John Sung. He has a very high success rate. I believe it's possibly nobody had done a really terrorist statistic, but I believe it's somewhere in about 90% of staying rate of souls who come to the Lord. And that's because John Soong always have a pray for all his converts. But why is it that many evangelists today do not have success rate? Let me tell you why. Because I work closely with some of them. I know what they do behind the scene. After the meeting is over, it is really over for them. I mean, there's no soul burden for the souls they brought to the Lord. It's just like professional, just like work. That's all. The work is over. Ah, yes. That's why the success rate is so different. If we want to change that, we can change that. It's not because Finney was any more special. It's because he kept some principles that are not being kept today. I hope somebody hears this and start. If they're revivalist evangelists, take it up. And in the same way, Paul, the apostle, I'm sure his success rate was very high. And you notice in Galatians 4 verse 19, he told the Galatians, I travail again for you. When the Galatians are about to backslide and fall away, he says, I travail for you again. Look at Paul. He was concerned about every single soul he won to the Lord. He was not going to leave them alone, saying, praise God, that's no more my business. And so here, number one, the mystery of suffering involves, number one, prayer. in verse 11. Because prayer will bring the gift of God and bring it to pass in our lives, in the lives of others. And then we see here in verse 20 and 21, for all the promises of God in Him are yes and in Him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a deposit. Now you notice here the Word and the Spirit coming together in verse 20 to 22. Part of the ministry of suffering involves the Word and the Spirit. This will come under the ministry too. Because we're not talking about sufferings for your mistakes. We are not talking about paying the penalty for the mistakes you make. The Bible tells us that persecution will arise for the Word's sake. The testing and the suffering is caused by you receiving the Word. And you are the deliverer of the Word, the keeper of the Word, the declarer of the Word. Therefore, these are the principles involved in the ministry of suffering. Now, we are not going into so much detail in some of these points, but we are just outlining where when we give, like in chapter 1, the ministry of suffering, there are 5 principles in ministry. What we are saying here is giving enough points for you to go home and study deeper to show that if you want to understand what the ministry of suffering is, you can find it in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. In chapter 2, the key verse, in verse 4, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. Number 2, the ministry is a ministry of love. Paul says, I want you to know the abundant love that I have for you. There are far too many who want to have a ministry, not because they love the people, but because they want a position. Or they want some glory and recognition. A ministry that is not born out of love is empty. It is a clanging cymbal and an empty drum. It has no substance. People must feel the love you have in your heart for them. That's where a true ministry comes forth. 5 important principles. Now, this applies not only when we are in a full-time ministry. When you want to serve in a church ministry, remember, a ministry exists for the sake of those who receive that ministry. The ministry of healing is because they are sick people. It exists because the sick people exist. And so it must be born out of love. 1 Corinthians 13 is very clear. If it's not done out of love, the meaning is just